Will all who are able please stand and join in the call to worship? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The world and all those who dwell in it.
Peace be with you in the name of Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and shown us how to live. God has shown us the path of life.
God's strength is renewal of the earth and for all.
Join me in the prayer of praise and confession. Almighty God, your word of creation caused the water to be filled with many kinds of living beings and the air to be filled with birds, with those who live in this world's small islands and large continents. We rejoice in the richness of your creation and we pray for your wisdom for all who live on this earth, that we may wisely manage and not destroy what you have made for us and for our descendants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, lift up your hearts and lives. Take heart. God's Spirit empowers us to move from the ways of death to the ways of new life. Christ has risen. And by God's great mercy, we are born anew to a living hope. Let us go forth to share that living hope with all creation, singing God's Alleluia. Let us join in singing the Alleluia that we began last week, the simple Alleluia, and this week also sing the second verse, You're my Savior, Alleluia. without the organ. Let's just hear our voices. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Greet one another with the joy and the peace of the resurrected Christ message. I invite anyone who's visiting with us to remain standing for a moment, and we'll be glad to share with you a visitor information kit. We have ushers who have visitors and information kits about Trinity United Church of Christ. We'll be glad to share with them now. If you raise your hand, or you can pick one up following the service, there's a sticker in it for children who are with us today and visiting. We're glad to welcome each person here today and to greet you with the joy and the peace that we know in Christ. We welcome you on this Echo Sabbath, and what a beautiful day it is to give thanks for the beautiful Savior, head of all creation, and for the creation that has come to us in God's Word and life, and that we share in the renewal of this season. We'll be having a special speaker on this Environmental Sunday in our fellowship hall following the service, Linda Merriman, who worked to see that there is green space in our community, is going to be talking about that experience, and I encourage you to be there in our fellowship hall at 10:20 and to join us with coffee before that and a time of fellowship in our fellowship hall in preparation for our guest speaker. I would also invite you to fill out the form to order trees for the free tree program, which will be distributed next week. You can still take time to order them today, and they will be with us next week for distribution. This Easter season, we proclaim and rejoice in Jesus Christ, the head of the church, as we celebrate our 125th anniversary here at Trinity Church. And I would draw your attention to the 125th newsletter that's been mailed, and some are in the pews. This Easter season is full of upcoming anniversary activities, and today, you can make reservations for the anniversary luncheon on May 19th following the service. There'll be, Tim Rowles out in the narthex taking those forms for the anniversary luncheon on May 19th. I also have a big news to share with you and a joy to share with you, and that is that in 2 weeks, on May 5th, Dan Deerdorf will be with us, and we're going to be able to celebrate with Dan and his family in his recognition and induction into the Hall of Fame. Dan will be with us on May 5th. There'll be more information coming about a breakfast and worship service that day. And then Ken Miedema will be with us that afternoon. It'll be a great day of celebration here at Trinity Church. I would mention that there is no 125th anniversary meeting today for the play, but anyone who'd like to participate in that, which is going well, please speak with me and we'll make sure to get you involved. There will be a habitat meeting on Monday night as we are looking ahead to building a habitat as house as part of our anniversary celebration this Monday night here at church. There'll be a meeting for everyone who's interested in helping and knowing more about it. So please come and help us get this project started as we look forward to it in the fall. I would also mention that Mother's Day banquet is coming up, and that's going to be on May 8th, and you'll be getting more information about that and its special program, and there'll be a community dinner on May 4th here at Trinity Church, and you can sign up in your Sunday school class or in the church office to help for that special community event for us. And then I invite you to be with us next Sunday in worship and in praise as we continue the joy of proclaiming Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever as our youth lead us in worship. And we especially talk about our Good Shepherd. It's good to see you here today. It's especially good to see our young people
singing and ringing. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, boys and girls. You know, that was so good, I thought I could actually hear the rain while you were singing. At this time, children through second grade are dismissed to their Sunday school classes, and the older children return to your seats. In our first reading this morning, the author addresses newly converted Christians who may feel like exiles in a strange land in the midst of our world which is hostile to Christ. We are to find our strength in the love of Christ and in sharing that love with others. A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. Here ends our first reading.
In our gospel reading this morning, two disciples have an encounter with the living Christ as they journey on the road to Emmaus. Jesus becomes known to them in the breaking of the bread, a reading from the Gospel of Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Thanks be to God, who continues to meet us in unexpected ways as we journey on in faith.
As followers of the risen Christ, beautiful Jesus, head of all creation, we gather today to proclaim God's power of renewal at work in nature and spring and in us. And it's a good day to begin with thanksgiving for nature. And you know, I'm glad to see our children with us in worship today. And I invite them, my young friends, to join me now for a moment of reflection. Come join me in my sermon for a moment. Just come right down front and join me, because I want to know what you give thanks for today. And I also just want to mention to you, as much as I love the sound of rain, if that rain streak brings rain tomorrow, just keep standing, you're in big trouble, because I got to mow my lawn. Well, that was wonderful. We give thanks for the sound of rain and the beauty of creation. What do you give thanks? What do you give praise to God for in nature and creation today? Yes. For life and family. That's right. For life and family. That we are alive. And that we have friends and family to share that with. That's the beginning part. Okay, what else do we give thanks for today in nature and creation? It's a beautiful day. What do you like about nature? Yes. You like light. Look at that out there. Isn't that beautiful? Just that light streaming in there. Light and life. What else? Flowers. Flowers are blooming and we give thanks for them. Yes, what else? For warmth. Light and warmth and life and flowers. Oh, isn't spring wonderful? And grass. I even give thanks for having to mow the grass. And for dirt. And for water. And what else? And for a big trampoline to put on the dirt and jump on. Okay, what about you, Sean? We give thanks for all the living animals. What else? For trees. For all the living plants. Plants and animals. Anything else? For clothes that we use, that which creation gives us to support well-being and our lives as well as others. Yes. For friends to share in the joy of creation. Yes. Oxygen for atoms and oxygen to breathe in and live. Yes. What else? For what? For shelter. For shelter, so that we can be well. And we make our shelters out of that which nature provides. Mm-hmm. We give thanks for everything. Well, that about says it all, doesn't it? That's right. We give thanks for everything. And looking at everything, light and life and warmth and well-being and friends and family, who would not say Hosanna to God? We give thanks to God for all of creation. But do you think our worship and our praise here today and our attention to the earth is complete if we just give thanks and just say Hosanna about the world What else do we need to think about the world? Yeah. That's right. We need to be concerned about the earth. We need to take care of it. And that's what we're going to talk some more about today, because we just can't stop with praise and thanksgiving. We need to talk about how we live to take care of the earth. I want to thank you for helping getting us started. Go back to your seats. I'm going to finish the rest of my sermon by myself. Well, with all of you too.
Indeed, there is so much to give thanks for today, and it's a beautiful day. What a fitting day for Echo Sabbath, and we give thanks and praise to God for the beauty of the earth. But our response would be just an inadequate and unfaithful start if we were simply to give thanks and shout Hosanna. In faith, we move from thanksgiving to concern, from praise to confession. Concern for the earth and its beauty, and confession of our part in the degradation of God's creation. In 1980, there were 4.4 billion people on Earth. In 1990, there were 5.2 billion people on Earth, and growing every day. And every day, some of these human beings move into places on the planet where only plants and animals used to live. Forests are cut down, wetlands, oceans, ice caps, and prairies invaded. Extinctions are accelerating worldwide. Our planet is now losing up to 3 species a day, and that figure is predicted to be 3 species per hour in scarcely a decade. By the year 2000, 20% of all Earth's species could be lost forever. Despite all our good intent and attempts, and there has been much increase in public awareness and concern for recycling and energy reduction and environmental issues, still we are living in an environmental crisis that needs continual attention and calls for changes in our lives and new thinking in our attitudes. It was in 1967, 3 years before that first Earth Day, that the historian Dr. Lynn White shocked the religious community by laying blame for the degradation of the environment on the doorsteps of the world's churches and synagogues. Fueling the crisis, he charged, was the common Judeo-Christian interpretation of dominion over creation, to mean that God placed people above nature, encouraging humans to believe that no item in the physical creation had any purpose save to serve our purposes. We can see that concept of dominion just driving down Fulton Road or Whipple Avenue in Jackson Township. We see that nothing will stop our development. We chop into and flatten hills. We level and cover over meadows, drain and fill up wetlands and bogs. The world exists for our development and dominion and shopping malls. Dr. White challenged the church to develop a faith-centered environmental ethic. Today, we can report that since that time, churches are taking up his challenge. And the question we need to continually ask ourselves each Earth Day weekend is, as a resurrected people, followers of beautiful Jesus, head of all creation, how are we to live on earth? In today's Emmaus text, the resurrected Christ greets the disciples with peace. Peace be with you. An adequate theology of peace in our lifetime ask for more than simply urging human combatants to settle their differences through negotiations. A solid theology of peace would link the earth and its environment with justice and peace issues. As followers of the risen Christ, head of all creation, we live as part of creation, and the peace that Christ gives is a new life making peace with creation, as well as with each other. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, exclaimed the psalmist. The land, the seas, the earth, the plants, and animals are not owned by any nation or generation, business or person, but the earth is God's, God's handiwork and possession, shared with us to provide for all its creatures. All creation is beloved of God. And the peace that Christ would have us live is a peace with all living creatures. Indeed, the earth as a whole, working to safeguard the world against damage. And behold, it was good. Very good, God declared in Genesis. God's power continues to create goodness. And you can see that in the power of God to renew and heal creation. It's amazing to see what can happen through the cleansing and healing power of God to work renewal in creation if we just let that happen and aid that process. Tasks are big. No point in letting the news reports and the immensity of the problem drive us to despair, however. We are called to a living hope, to get involved, knowing that our God of creation can work life and newness out of the saddest situations. None of us can close the hole in the ozone layer above Antarctica, but all of us can help prevent its spread by reducing our use of chlorofluorocarbons and reducing our use of energy with more efficient homes and cars. Look at the 16 suggestions for this Earth Day in the bulletin today. And today we have someone with us to show just what one person can do. You know, often when I drive through Jackson Township these past years, I have lamented the farm after farm that has been turned over and developed into shopping malls or into housing developments. I've lamented it, but done nothing about it. Linda Merriman saw and did more than lament. She worked to make a change. She doesn't like to be called an environmental activist. Rather, she is a mother and a concerned citizen in Jackson. Concerned citizen who simply drew attention to the loss of green space, of park and land preserved, undeveloped, and wetlands. She was not trying to stop development, but she wanted to work to safeguard a balance between development and green space, between parks and preserves, and development which is going to happen. Green space to preserve the forests, meadows, and wetlands so necessary to the health of the whole ecosystem. We all need green space. We all need open space and nature. Look at just the difference that having this ivy up front here and this green today makes in our sanctuary. We all need green space. We can give thanks for her witness and work. But each of us must bear responsibility for our own use of the earth, its energy and resources.
in making our peace with the earth. We know that as much as we are the root of the problem, we are also participants in its solution. In 1 Peter, it says, "By God's great mercy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we are people born anew to a living hope." And as our bulletin cover reminds us, all creation is born anew to a living hope. We are part of a creation that's being resurrected. And all of creation is waiting on tiptoes. Could it be that we have been so wrapped up in the meaning of the resurrection just for our own living and dying that we have failed to see that the future of the living planet is part of the God's plan for renewal for us and for all creation? As resurrected people of the living hope, let us work for and share God's good future for the beauty of the earth. Behold, it is very good. Choir, sing to us about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. We gather to give thanks to God for the beauty of the earth and to share in the joy of the renewal of creation in our lives in Christ's Spirit. And what a beautiful day it is to celebrate that, to give thanks for the beauty of the earth. We give thanks for Christ's fellowship and for the head of creation and the church. And this past week we had the special opportunity to share in the joy of fellowship with St. Michael's Roman Catholic Church, and what a delightful evening of fellowship and worship we had at St. Michael's, celebrating our unity in Christ. This week we also had a great youth dance here on Friday night and had a chance to be with Abby as she prepares for her upcoming surgery. I must tell you, I was very proud and thankful for our youth here that evening, and it was a wonderful night, and we give thanks for that opportunity. Yesterday in our sanctuary here, and part of the beauty that we share today comes from the wedding of Heather Shackelford and Chris Smith here in our sanctuary. We ask God to bless them, and we give thanks for the blessing of the decorations and the beauty that they left from their service yesterday for us to enjoy today. And as we're talking about weddings, flowers, we give thanks for the flowers in our sanctuary today from the Nutter family. And I also know that it's Ev and Doyle Nutter's 50th anniversary today, too. And they were married on Easter Sunday, April 21st, 50 years ago, and there you are. Happy anniversary, Evan Doyle. Thank you for the flowers. I bet there are other anniversaries here today also, and we give thanks for all of them. This must be the season of anniversaries. I know my folks are celebrating a 50th anniversary on May 4th, and we look forward to that. Are there other anniversaries here today also? Just raise up your hands.
There are several members of our church family that we would like you to keep in your prayers as well. We continue to pray for Gordon Snyder and for Hester Jane Johnston and for Eleanor Hirsch, all of whom are still hospitalized. We also pray for those who are home from the hospital, Dave Barchi, Peg Becker, Mary Schrader, Joan Selway, and Tim Kidder. And we also want to remember Doris Kakis and Abby Foltz, both of whom are home from the hospital and will be returning to the hospital soon for continuing procedures. We also want to remember Jim Valentine and his family in the death of his mother. We had just shared a few weeks ago that Jane Valentine's father had died, so this is a situation we especially want to keep their family in our prayers as they're suffering from grief upon grief.
Are there other joys or concerns or prayer requests or thanksgivings to share today? We're sad to hear that news, Helen, and we certainly will keep your niece's family in our prayers. Helen's niece, who had brain surgery this week, died, and she had a young family and husband, and we certainly want to keep them and Helen's family in our prayers in this time of great grief. Are there other prayer requests or thanksgivings or joys to share today? This week, as we observe the anniversary of the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City, I was reminded of the powerful witness of the Reverend Robin Myers, who is our pastor of Mayflower United Church of Christ in Oklahoma City, downtown Oklahoma City, by the federal building. He spoke to General Synod this past summer in a passionate way, giving thanks for the support that his congregation and community received from the wider church and from other organizations and the nation, the outpouring of care and prayer and financial support. We supported the work and relief in Oklahoma City through our church's wider mission and through many more offerings as well. We support them and continue to do so through our prayers. Robin, who's a friend, also spoke of passionately against the violence that was witnessed in that act. Violence that we see again in the Middle East, in Lebanon and Israel. And certainly today we want to pray for peace in our nation and world and work for that peace in all creation and among all people. Let us come before God with our prayers, with our joys, with our concerns.
Creator God, on this beautiful spring day, we give you praise and thanks for the beauty and for the bounty of the earth. Everything around us speaks to us of newness of life. You have blessed us with an abundance that fills our lives beyond anything that we could ask for. We pray for your help and your guidance that we may take better care of your creation. Too often we have abused things for our own benefit, without thinking of the effect that it has on others. Too much of creation has been destroyed. Too much pollution has filled our air and water. Too much consumption threatens to drown us in a sea of garbage. We pray for the wisdom to change our ways and to renew your world. Help us to live in harmony with nature and with other people, so that we may truly know peace and justice throughout the earth. We know that in love you seek us, that in love you also sustain us in our needs. In that knowledge, we pray for those who are ill and those who are suffering. And especially, we would remember those who have been hospitalized. We think of Gordon and Hester and Eleanor and Dave and Joan and Peg, Mary, Tim, Doris and Abby. We ask that you would pour out your healing spirit upon them. We pray also for those who mourn, and we remember Mark and his family, and Jim and Jane and their family, and pray that you will comfort them with the promise of the eternal hope that we have in you. We pray for all who face an uncertain future, and for all who are seeking your guidance and your strength. Be in the midst of all places of need, with all who are troubled, and with all who need your love. We especially thank you for the tremendous love that you have shown us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By Christ's resurrection, renew your power within us, and help us to serve you and fill the world with your love and your peace. In Jesus' name we ask all of this. And we unite as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God has blessed us with an abundance of gifts. As stewards of those gifts, we are called to care for God's world and for all who live in it. Let us rededicate our lives and our resources to the renewal of the earth and to sharing God's love. We will receive our morning offering.
Let us pray. God of earth, sky, and sea, we give back to you of the gifts that you have given us. You have charged us with the care of your earth. May we care for your creation to the glory of your name. Amen.
Now the deep peace of Christ be with you, who swift as the wave and pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth and shining like a star, breathes into us God's peace and God's Spirit. Deep peace of the God of peace to you. Let the people who go forth in peace and new life say, Amen.